What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and a new sponsor that we're going to announce later, midway through the show. But in the meantime, it is a 4-1 victory over South Georgia Tormenta. This is your host, Elliot Barr.
Shanier Duran.
And it is a glorious day. Like I said, it's 4-1.
Woo! 4-1. And not just 4-1, just a fantastic 4-1.
Besides the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, the first 5 minutes was a little...
Hard trash. Hard trash. I ain't gonna lie. So I was at home watching the game, and I literally, like, as soon as I saw the goal going, I was like, yeah, nope, not watching this. And then I went back to watching it. I'm a creature of havoc, I like to say.
Yeah.
But quick, interesting fact. This is the first time Richmond has scored 4 goals in league play. Not U.S. Open Cup play, but in league play since August 1st, 2015 against Harrisonburg Islanders, who are no longer playing.
Yeah, no longer a club.
That's 4 years ago and some days. That's a long time.
That's 4 years and a month ago.
Yeah,
practically.
But let's start off, man. First and foremost, what was going on in the first 5 minutes? Like, I don't understand. Like, so it started off a kickoff. It started off with a back four of, I think, Ivan, Shinosky, Akwe, and Lockerbie. And I was like, all right, maybe Bulo's trying to 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Like, and the next thing we know,
as the ball gets kicked off, like, literally as soon as the ref blows a whistle, Lockerbie just goes on a Hussein Bolt up the field.
Oh, yeah. Lockerbie was like, defense? What's this? I'm about to go play winger. And it looked all over the place. Like, if it wasn't for Akiris Pinkie-Toe, South Georgia would have scored in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know how Akiris saw it. I don't care.
He saw it late.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I know he saw that.
It was
play.
A total foot save. It was a David De Gea type save.
Yeah.
Like, he got to it. This still kind of has been on Achilles heel all season is set pieces and clearing them out.
Yeah.
I would say this. We've got better at the first initial ball coming in.
Yeah.
The part about us clearing it out is still something we still struggle with.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, once that first... I mean, things have gotten better with the set pieces with the kickers. I mean, there were a couple of set pieces, corner kicks, free kicks that Tormenta did have where we were able to clear our lines and get the ball out of there.
Yeah.
So, it's a work in progress. But, defensively, I can't say we were solid because after the first 5 minutes, it's like Tormenta lost their teeth.
No. I can tell you the moment Tormenta lost his teeth. It's when Joey G decided he wanted to evolve like a Pokemon and because Joey G Curry could take half court shots. That's the moment South Georgia was like, all right, y'all be blessed. We'll holler at y'all.
No, but even before then, there were very few times where the back line had pressure on them. I feel like Tormenta, they were kind of playing, they didn't press high. They didn't. They allowed our back line to get control of the ball, and they kind of sat deep and then got the ball and tried to work their way up.
Well, I would say this, and that's very true. I would say what happened was the first 8 minutes, I felt like Tormenta, they've been in a bad run of form.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bad. I think
their last game...
With this game included, they have lost their last 5. Yeah. And I think outside of that, I think they've been in worse
form. And if you think about it, their last 2 games, they've conceded 9 goals.
Yeah.
Between us and North Texas.
That's Richmond-esque, Tormenta. That was us in June.
Yeah. Well, no, because we were never losing 5-0. Even when we lost to North Texas, what was it, 3-1?
Yeah, 3-0. We haven't scored against
3-0.
North Texas. Yeah. But even still, like, oh my God, if Richmond ever gave up 5 in a game, it is not against an MLS team. I don't think I'm recording that week.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm recording. So really, this is how South Georgia's been since July 6th. They have lost 6, drawn 4, won 1 game, and that was against Orlando City B.
And we know, when did they beat Orlando City B?
That was July 24th.
July 24th. Yeah, Orlando City B had already checked out by then.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Yeah. But let's talk about the first goal. Dennis Chen's first goal came off of a darn near rugby scrum.
Yeah.
And
rugby scrum at the top of the 18.
The ball's all over the place. And it's really Greg Bean kind of just... He really just kicks the ball for... He literally was playing kickball.
Yeah, he just put a toe on it to get it out of that mess.
Yeah.
But going forward...
He's playing kickball. That's what he was doing.
And yeah, I think at this point, especially when the ball's scrambling around like that, you just want to. I don't care if it ends up at the foot of a defender. We need to get the ball out of this mess. Yeah, and that's what Greg Bain just get this out of here and then try again.
You can describe it so beautifully.
I mean, Chin. The thing is, a lot of people I can imagine a lot of people with that ball coming to them, because Chin was just in the perfect position. Yeah. The ball coming to them would try and take a touch, push it out, so that's already 2 touches. By now, the defender's on you. The ball coming to him as quickly as the ball was coming to him. I mean, because Greg Bean didn't hospital pass that one. It was coming at him at pace.
No, he didn't.
And for him to quickly, with quick feet, move his body out of the way to allow the ball to come across his body to just hit it first time.
I mean, it was smart.
It was well done.
And I mean, everything about how Chin took that shot should scream, this is not going to go. Like, darn near offsides, leaning back, leaning to the side, shooting near post, keeper, leaning near post.
But and it goes hit it. In. He just hammered it.
He did.
He hammered it. He did. Even though the goalie was near post, there was no... Unless Chin had kicked the ball directly at him, there was no saving it from the range he was at.
So right now, we're already tied. And it's like, all right, you can see after the 5th minute mark that every Richmond fan even was just like, yo, what is going on? It seemed like after Chin scored, it seemed like Richmond kind of just was like, all right, now we can get our game plan going. And now we take the time. And I would say Richmond did a good job of... Even League One Fun will even tell you, like, possession is a trash stat. Mm-hmm. It's all about what you do with that possession.
Exactly.
And I believe Richmond did an excellent job with the possession that we had. We got into dangerous areas, but we never allowed pressure to build up in our own half, which has been a problem of Richmond.
Yeah.
Because the midfield, and not saying that our midfield is poor, but I think our midfield was too stretched out over the field.
Oh, yes.
That it was never like...
There was never a cluster of players that could work the ball around
and
each other.
You see, in this game, it seemed like to be a cluster. It seemed like you had Bolduc, Gallardo, Beam, Troyer, Lockerbie, all kind of shifting and rotating in that midfield. So it's not like everyone was working off the ball.
Yeah.
Which is the intended purpose of what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And then we talk about my man, Joey Curry. Oh, that's his name from now on.
Joey Curry?
Oh, yeah, his name is Jericho.
Joey G. Curry.
Yeah. 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 He pulled up. Pulled up from 3. Yeah. Like,
I mean, but before we go into Gallardo's goal, I do feel that, I mean, when I was watching the game, yes, the first, like, 2-3 minutes was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? But we did also have chances at the other end. I mean, there was one situation, the ball gets slipped through the Chin. And Chin is running onto it, gets the ball. Gallardo's making an overlapping run. And he goes to make the flick to get it onto Gallardo.
Yeah.
It gets blocked, and he actually gets stepped on, ref. Because you saw Chin pull up and literally hold his foot. And that opportunity is blocked.
We gotta put Gallardo in bubble wrap.
Tell me about it, because I know after this game, we need to put him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so
people are gonna be coming for his neck.
He definitely is. The second goal, man. Like, if there's a play to ever describe Gallardo, I want to say is this one. Because what he initially started to play, right?
Yeah.
He got the ball back, won it. And then, I'm not going to lie, like the presence of mind, and that's so cliche to say. But for him just to be like, it's almost like Wayne Rooney-esque.
Yeah.
Like he just like, oh, I'm just going to shoot it.
Yeah.
And it's not like it dinged off the crossbar, the goalkeeper got a hand to it and tipped it. No, it went like bottom net, like
yeah, all it, that. It hit the side netting just.
And that's what you could tell South Georgia was just like,
yeah,
this ain't our night.
I mean, well, there are a lot of things wrong with that situation. I don't feel the goalkeeper is to blame in this situation. Because from where Gallardo got the ball and with the players that were around him, a goalkeeper shouldn't have to sprint back to his line from there.
No.
Because there was a defensive presence enough around Gallardo to discourage him from shooting. But nobody stepped.
Yeah, and I think
so nobody stepped. So the goal, he's thinking, okay, they got the ball. Now they're coming forward. Mm-hmm. All right, let me back up to my line. Because he's up near the 18 because the ball is with Tormenta in our half.
Yeah.
So now Gallardo is pushing forward with the ball, and nobody steps to him. So Gallardo says, goalie's out of his box. No defender's coming to get me. Okay. Yeah. And he just goes for it.
I mean, it's like Mark Jackson says, man. Hand down, man down. And the defense was just... Honestly, I think the defense was just like, because the kind of player that Joey G is, they were probably thinking he's going to try to take us on, so we'll just hold the but imaginary.
He's taken shots from far out before.
He had.
His last goal before today was a long range shot that hit bottom left corner. So I don't know.
I mean, I'm saying, like, as the defense, you're thinking, like, all right, like 9 times out of 10, but the player's in that position. How many times have you seen a player try to take on 1, 2, 3, 4 players? Player gets dispossessed, and now we got possession. So that's what probably South Georgia was probably thinking. Like,
so they sit off him.
Wait for him to make the mistake, and then we clear it up. Allow the goalkeeper to get back, not knowing that Joey G is seeing like, oh, he's off his line. I'm taking his chance.
Yep.
And it lined up perfectly, like it happened.
Yeah.
There was nothing the goalkeeper did. I do think the defense of South Georgia. I think if they have another shot to play, I think one of them steps to Joey G and they try to push him more to his left and that give him, you know, just the center of the pitch.
Exactly.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
The third goal, you talk about Crimson Chin?
Crimson Chin.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I was kind of surprised that Chin had the wheels that he had because I wasn't expecting it. Like, he kind of had some wheels on him. And this ball, who got this? Was it Bulldog? I think it was Bulldog. Yes, it was Bulldog. Bulldog makes, what, the most intelligent pass in the world. Pretty much just plays it over the top. Gives it to Chin. And Chin one-foots it.
Yeah, from outside the 18 yeah, over touch, near the line. Like, he's literally in the far left top corner of the 18. And just... He says, all right, they're going to try and close me down. Let me hit this. And he hit it. Yeah. Oh, he hit it.
I'm sorry, yo. Out of all three goals, all four goals, I don't think Jar had a chance to save any of them.
No. None of them were saveable for him.
I don't think Jar had a chance. I mean, for this goal, the third goal, Chin literally is playing off the back shoulder of a center back. Mm-hmm. And being a center back, that is one of the most frustrating things ever because it's like, I can't push up. I can push up, but it's this striker is always going to be tailing behind me.
I mean, it's not just that because one thing, when I first saw Chin's second goal, I backed it up. I backed it up to about almost a minute before because you notice that Chin just, he's the striker. But he pops up everywhere.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And that's what makes him so hard to mark for those center backs because literally in that sequence of play, because the kickers had the ball for a little while before they got the ball out to Chin. So it was possession. Chin is literally in our own half just past the center circle. Like, he's just past the center circle. He receives the ball with his back to goal. tries to take a touch forward, thinks better of it, goes back and dishes it off, and the ball gets moved around, chin is out of camera, and then when you show up again, he's all the way up on the left side.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, defensively, that's a nightmare to deal with. And so now you've got this guy who's running all over the field and who can finish like that.
Like, honestly, man, it was... I mean, also, like, full credit to Bodu, who showed that why he is the puppeteer of this team.
Right? He is.
He has what? I think he's second in, or tied for second in the league in assists.
Yep, with six.
And he showed why he's the puppeteer, because he literally puts this in the only spot. Like, if this ball is, I want to say, another 10 feet ahead of Chin, that ball's going out of bounds.
Yeah.
So it's literally like he's throwing, it's like in football, when you throw a back fade to someone in the end zone. Like, it's either going to Chin or it's going out of bounds. Like, he doesn't put it in a position where the defense can easily intercept it. The goalkeeper can run up on it. He literally puts it in the one spot that Chin can get to. Chin takes it with 1 foot, goal up 3-1, 36 minute.
Oh, when that third goal went in, my jaw dropped. I was like, wait a minute.
So, you know, I had reminiscence of Toronto.
Yeah.
Of 2-0. I'm like, all right, please, for the love of God, don't let this fall.
I didn't. You know why? Because it was just, like you said, after Gallardo's second goal, they completely lost their venom. Tormenta completely lost their venom. Tormenta was in damage control mode because two goals in that short span of time, they're getting flashbacks of North Texas.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting flashbacks of North Texas, and they're just in damage control mode. House is on fire. Go get the water.
Like, you could just see, like, I mean, we still have the other Joey G goal to talk about, the one that proves to me that he bought that life.
Yeah.
it just shows you, like, this game, soccer is a game all about momentum.
Yeah.
And it's about how you are playing in the moment. You take the South Georgia team at the beginning part of June, everyone had them as a darn lock-in for the playoffs.
Yeah, they had them at North Texas, one and two. Yep, and they weren't too far off North Texas,
no,
too.
They won't. And then Richmond, at the same moment, you would have had us at bottom of the league.
Or second to last.
Yeah.
Because of
a And now, it's like, now, granted, we are now, what, eighth because North Texas beat Toronto. But you can tell, like, the form is much different. Like, it's just... And I was looking at the stats, and I'm just wondering, like, how much of South Georgia not having Lucas Coutinho, who was kind of, you want to say, like, the maestro of that midfield, has changed that team up.
I mean, it has,
but it's almost like the equivalent of losing, like, say if Richmond loses Joey G, we know that is arguably one third of our offense gone.
That's true, but we wouldn't be conceding 5-0. And Tormenta was not conceding goals at the beginning of the season. They were barely conceding goals at the beginning of the season. So,
yeah. So
there's something else, because it's one thing to have an attacking player out of the picture. It's like, for example, you were to take the 2014, was it? Yeah, the 2014 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
When Brazil lost Neymar and Thiago Silva right before the Germany game. A lot of people chalking it up as, you know, Neymar doesn't have you don't have Neymar, so now you don't have an attacking threat. But it's Thiago Silva's
absence. You're thinking about
it's Thiago Silva's absence that allowed Germany to demolish Brazil the way they did. Now imagine Thiago Silva still playing. Thiago Silva's not injured. He's still in. He's still the leader of that back line. Germany is probably still winning, but it's probably 2-1.
Yeah.
Probably 2-1, maybe 3-1, because Germany was really on form in that World Cup.
I'm trying to think of anyone off of South Georgia that's...
Their defensive line hasn't really changed much. And if their defensive line hasn't changed much, the rest of the team hasn't really changed much apart from that one crucial player injury. You're thinking to yourself, what happened mentally to the team?
honestly, I will say this, and I think South Georgia will look back at this season as like a season of started off truly very hot and then tailed off because this team's probably not used to playing this number of games with this number of travel. Because remember, they were in, what, the PDL last year. So they're playing 12, 14 games.
That's true.
15 games max.
Yeah.
And now you're like, all right, here's 28. Not only do you got to travel to Lanton, Ford, Orlando, North Texas, Tucson, here's another 28 games you got to play. Yeah. So maybe now it's just like they're hitting that exhaust point where it's just like they're just tailing off. And it's
they're
like,
tailing off. They're done.
You know, and then on top of that, you put losing Lucas Coutinho, who's the maestro of your midfield. It doesn't work. But past halftime, I mean, we tweeted out there. It was just like everything outside of the first 5 minutes looked good for Richmond. It's our best half of the season. Yeah. goals out there. But then the thing is like keep the pressure up.
But that's the thing. I think this was a very, very brilliant piece of game management by Bülow.
Because this is his best game match.
At second half come in, a lot of teams would be like, all right, we're 3-1 up. Let's keep going. And then the legs would run out. And then halfway through the second half, now you're literally just bunkering in because Tormenta are just firing.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Firing,
how do you feel? All right. For me, the second half, I felt like
the kicker sat back.
And I felt like
because they sat back. You know why? Because you're coming in the second half. And you want your players to continue to rest. So now you sit back, you play more defensive, you get possession of the ball now, you try and slowly work your way up, you don't take any risks. When we're defending, we sit back, let them have the ball in their own half, their back line have the ball if they want it, we're not going to press. And then, later on in the half, when their legs are completely tired, because now they can't afford to do that because they're down 3-1. Yeah. They have to come at us. They have to wear their energy down. So now, now we can come back for it and get back into the game. And that's what happened later on. I mean, even before Joey G's fourth goal, you could start to see Richmond starting to move up the field a little more. There was a lot less going on in our back line because the ball was a lot further up. We were moving the ball around their half, and that's what led to Joey G's goal, to be honest with you. Because Joey G was... So now, if we describe the goal...
What, his fourth goal?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If the ball gets pinged around...
If there's ever an example of someone getting crossed up multiple times, it's Joey G.
Oh.
He cooked
six defenders in one play. Like...
I would say this, and there's been a lot of talk about Joey G and Richmond's offensive struggle. So real quick, here's some stats. Joey G is number one in the team in shots, chances created... With 41 shots and 28 chances created, he only has one assist.
Yeah.
Bulldog has six assists, and he has...
15 chances created.
Was the second most of the team, and then Chin has 16 shots, which is the second most of the team. So, like we said before, a lot of the offense go through Gallardo. He's initiated a lot of the offense, and he's the attacking mid that's not like we described last week, he's not like Kraft, where Kraft is the one that will have the high assist numbers. He's like... Puppeteer, like or like Boldu, who's sitting there to assist everyone. Yeah. Gallardo is like literally the job is score.
Yeah, run that's at what them. I, yeah, run score. At them. Run
and
at them.
And that's I would say is the positive and negatives to Joey G because, like, when he's going to the losing streak, since all the offense go through Joey G, teams know hone in on him.
And I think that was behind the acquisition of Kraft.
Yeah,
because now you have that element. Like in this game,
and also
in
this game, healthy.
You want Joey G.
Yeah.
You want Joey G. You want him running at them. Yeah. Because now they're like, oh crap, we're down 3-1. We're tired. We tried and tried and tried and we still weren't able to score another goal. And now we've got this guy running at us.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want Kraft in that situation. You would want him in a situation earlier in the game maybe or in a different game against a team that has a more level head or whatever to draw some attention. Then find the open man.
Yeah. And then also with Bo Nuge happen, it kind of frees up Joey G because now you allow Joey G to do what he does best.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it shows the positives and the negatives. Like, this play highlights the positives of Joey G.
Yes. I mean,
like, he has the ability to take a player, not one, six players on one on one. And also, I want to highlight on this play, go back and watch it. look at Dennis Chen and see how he goes from, like, I'm about to fight Joey G for not passing me this ball and I made this run, to like, oh, snap, he scored. Yay.
Yeah.
Like, it's a typical striker reaction.
Yes.
It's the opposite of what Salah and Mane went through this week, where Salah didn't pass to Mane and Mane was ready to fight Salah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the opposite of what happened.
Yeah, that's like, why didn't you? Oh. Oh, okay. Okay.
I see what you did there, boy. I see what you did there. Like,
but I mean, the goal, what led up to the goal is the switch. Is that switch, like a few minutes, or I'd say probably about 5 or 6 minutes before that goal, the switch from sit back, conserve our energy, play defensive, to all right, now let's move forward and get in their face again. Because this ball gets pinged around, players passing the ball around, I think Bolduc, Bame, and Gallardo are up on the left side of Tormenta's half.
Yeah.
And they're moving the ball around. Finally, Tormenta gets a toe in, clears the ball. Ivan, literally, with his first touch, just sends it right back in. Right back into that area. So it's basically saying, no, 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 that ball's going to stay there. The right back for Tormenta heads the ball, try and get it back out, and Beam just gets in the way. Gets his head in the way, and literally nods the ball down right at Joey G's feet. Now Joey G's all the way out near the sideline and turns around, and there's acres of space, but this is the thing. With us pressing this high, there are like 7 or 8 Tormenta players near the edge of the 18.
And you know the worst thing is for a defender? Running backwards towards your goal because you don't know where you're going.
Exactly. I mean, there's that, but also this shows that we were pressing so high that they had to have 7 or 8 guys that far back.
Yeah.
So they literally had only two guys up. They had 8 men behind the ball. So now Joey G runs in and with some brilliance just takes on 6 of those guys. Goes through. The last guy gets megged. Filthy. And then Joey G just roofs the ball. Put the ball right over the net.
I felt so bad for that defender, dog. Because not only did you initially let Joey G run across your face, you backed up. And then Joey G
nutmegs you. Runs around you and scores.
And at that moment, you got to fight him.
Oh.
And, I'm sorry.
You look over to your bench and you be like, coach is about to take me off, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Because you already mad. You know you run the sprints next week.
Yep.
You know you run the sprints. So, the bad part about this, I didn't even see the go live.
Yeah.
Because I cut the game off. Because me and Electra were getting ready to go out somewhere. And I was like, all right, it's 10 minutes left. We're up 3-1. I doubt Richmond can blow it in 10 minutes. But I was...
But if they do, I would rather not see it.
Yeah, I'd rather not see it. And then I get an alert. Richmond scores 4-1. And I'm like, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I go see the goal. I'm like, oh. Like, Joey G pretty much, if there's any way how to break your duck of not scoring
with since, 2 goals like this.
When is the last time he scored? I want to say maybe June.
Yeah, he scored in June. I think he scored the last goal before that drought.
This is like, we normally don't do this before the show, but since that goal was so good, since Joey G plays so well in this game, let's see. When is the last time he scored, Joey G? Let's see. When is the last time he scored? Don't tell me it was that long ago. I know it cannot have been that long ago. It was Chattanooga. April.
In April. Wow. Chattanooga in April. And you come back. You break your goal drought with a performance like this. I mean, that just goes...
No, I take that back.
Oh.
FC Tucson, May 11th, I believe.
Yeah. May 11th. That's still a long time ago, man. Yeah. And when you come back from that goal drought with a performance like this, that is quite impressive. Yeah. Quite impressive. I mean, and the one thing that is going to be... I feel a lot of people may downplay is... the confidence. when you haven't scored in that long, for you to go, for, especially his first goal, for you to go for a shot like that, take a shot like
not
that.
Not even the confidence, but the sheer, like, the off-the-cross shot against Ford Madison, the missed pin against Toronto FC, the open chance goal he missed against Ford.
Yep.
The other goal, I think he had another open chance goal he missed against Orlando.
Uh-huh.
You talk about four big opportunities where it's that, like, you know the offense run through you.
And you completely snuffed it.
Yeah.
But then for you to have the confidence and the self-belief to take on a shot like that.
From half court.
From literally. And then have another one where
you dribble through six players.
And roof it.
Also, you hear Chan cussing you out, so you know you got to score.
Yeah.
And you make it. It's like, you got to be on cloud nine, man.
That shows a testament to him as a player mentally to still stay switched on, to still stay focused, still stay confident, knowing what he's capable of doing.
Most definitely. And, like, honestly, I know everyone on Twitter, when we did the poll, like, who's the man of the match, everyone voted Joey G. I think, like, a couple of people voted for Chen. Honestly, man, I mean, outside of, you know, Gallardo scoring those two wonder goals, I got to give it to Bo Duke, man.
Bo Duke was...
Like, I got to give it to
again, him. Like you said, the puppeteer. He was in control of everything going forward. Everything going forward, he had to do... He had something to do with it.
Yeah, so, like, he had what? Let's see. He had one shot on target when they got blocked, but, I mean... Most of his possessions was in the opponent's half. He had, what, four long balls. Three of them were accurate. Two key passes. I mean, he, what, dribbled six times, successful on five of them. Mm. Was fouled the most in this game, so you know they were, like, coming after him. Had two interceptions. And most importantly, he had one assist. That makes him now, what, tied for second in USL League One with six. Can't get no better than that, man.
Yeah.
You
can't. I mean, at this point...
I ain't gonna lie. Like, Nate by Northwest, our friend on Twitter, he called out at the beginning of the year. He was like, Richmond struggles really came from that time period where Bo Duke was hurt.
Yeah.
And since Bo Duke been healthy, it's been a different...
It's been a different game. Tempo, man. Different game completely. But another thing we also need to take into consideration here is that Bo Duke is no longer with the changes that Bulo has made and the tweaks and what he's done in training with those guys. Bo Duke is no longer the only weapon in the midfield. I mean,
well, he's no longer
the only person who has the potential to be a puppeteer.
Yeah, he's no longer doing it by himself, which
exactly.
is...
Exactly.
If you go look at his formation, it was a 4-1-3-2, but you saw different elements of it. Like we said, at the beginning of the game, it was a 3 in the back. But now, when Richard goes up to 3 goals, it's a 4 in the back, but Troy is dropping in to be, like, the center back in the middle.
Yeah.
And then when we were in defense, Bo Duke and BMC, like, they dropped in to kind of help out the midfield solidify.
Yeah.
But Gallardo and Chen were always pushed up to put pressure on the center backs. So it was always pressure somewhere. There was always availability for someone to be somewhere. And also, when did Akwe stop playing left back? Like, I never knew Akwe had this in his locker to play left back.
Yeah.
So that's impressive to see.
That was nice to basically see players show their versatility in this game. Granted, you know, you have Ivan at left back, and Ivan, ever since he's been gone, going from center back to left back, or as a left center back in a back three, he has turned it up.
Yes.
And he's done very well, playing that position, but to know that if anything goes wrong, Akwe can fill that spot and do it well.
Yeah. And that's probably been like...
It gives you that sense of calm, that sense of confidence that regardless of what happens, we've got certain positions covered.
I do think next year, and we're talking about that again, but I think next year, I think one thing Bulo's going to do is looking at the strength and the defensive, and not like bringing better defensive players, but I think bringing in more depth. because we were thin back then.
We are very
thin. And that showcased in the fourth game when Akwe was out. And it was kind of just like, all right, we've been rolling with this three in the back. Now we were forced to play four.
We're plus.
You know, because we only have two center backs. Yeah. And I think, you know, you're going to need depth in the defensive spot. Definitely, you're going to need at least four center backs or, you know, five center backs back there. Yeah. But you ready to talk about our new sponsor?
Yeah.
So we hinted at it on Twitter, Instagram, and whatnot. By the way, follow us on Instagram. We just got one, RiverCity93. I need y'all to like.
Yes.
We are now being sponsored by For the Culture United. They're based out of Atlanta. Pretty much they promote everything that is black culture in soccer. They're producing our t-shirts for us. They're coming up on September 14th. So we have to be somewhat on our best behavior. Not really. We'll probably be, you know, having fun and trying to be forward.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
Red Army's going to get real loud that game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be
awesome. For the Culture, the link is down below in the description below. You can go check out the t-shirts. There are three different t-shirts. We have a white one, we have a red one, and we have a black one. If you buy a t-shirt, take a picture of it and send it to us so we can shout you out for being a great, loyal supporter of the podcast.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to put that out there. But next week, we play in the health insurance derby. I refuse to call it the Boston Cross Cup. That
health insurance derby.
We're pretty much playing for health
with
insurance.
Greenville.
Yeah.
Triumph.
Pretty much winner takes all. So, all right, let me ask you. How do you feel about, like, league, like, mandated derbies? I wouldn't say mandated, but
within reason, I'm okay with them. But when you start, pushing for almost every other game is a derby for of some sorts, it takes away from the importance of a derby.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of times a derby is important for one reason, because the fans think it's important.
Yeah.
Now, if you create a derby that everyone's like, wait, what?
You created a derby around health insurance.
Then it's not a derby. It's not a derby. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not,
like,
because
I get
the
it.
Fans
like,
are like, okay, so what?
Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, there's a Barnes & Coors in Greenville. There's a Barnes & Coors in Richmond. There's a McDonald's in Richmond. There's a McDonald's in Greenville.
Hey, sure. Are we going to do McDonald's derby? I mean,
I don't think my heart can take that. The diabetes. But, you know. So, but nah, like, I get why, like, it's cool. Apparently, I don't know if we're playing for a trophy or not, but apparently what they said is that it's going to be done
the
with
the Bonsa Core Cup.
Yeah. I'm not calling it the Bonsa. It's called the Health Insurance Derby.
Health Insurance Derby.
I can't even say it with a straight face. So pretty much both teams have 3 points because we beat Greenville. They beat us. The last game is played here. So, pretty much, if it isn't a draw, I think it's goal differential or however it pretty much... I don't know.
I mean, we can't do goal differential if all three are a draw. So, we need to win this one. So, someone... Or, yeah.
I mean, I want us to win it because 7 games left.
Yeah,
because
we need to win.
Yeah. So, Greenville does come into this game since June 28th. They have won 6, drawn 3... Lost 1. They are 3rd in the table. I would say they have been on the best run of form outside of Lansing.
Outside of Lansing, yeah.
But they... And they have the best defense statistically in League 1. They've only given up 14 goals.
They have only given up 14 goals. The one thing that I do see is against... Forward Madison, their last game, that I just think it's a bunch of bad luck for Forward. They lose, the Greenville won 1-0, but Forward Madison had 61% possession.
I mean,
they
yeah,
had
I was talking about
so many shots. They had their passing was a lot more. Most of their passing was more of their passing was in the opposing half rather than their own half. I don't know. I just feel that this was one of those games that just went against Madison just out of luck.
I mean, I would say this. Like, outside of two games this year, Greenville pretty much leads USL in 1-0 wins.
Yeah.
They are Chelsea back in the Mourinho days of 1-0, that's it, shut up shop.
Yeah.
Like, basically. I mean, granted, in the last, five games, they have scored 3 against Toronto, 4 against North Texas in North Texas. So this isn't a Greenville squad that's coming in slouching either. But to our benefit, kind of luck on our side, Dallas J, the goalkeeper for Greenville, and I wrote down his name, Omar Mohammed. Mm-hmm. Both got called up to national duty, which is big ups to them. Like, congrats to them. But they'll miss the game against us. And Dallas J has started, I believe, every game for Greenville. So Greenville's going to have a brand new goalkeeper who has not, from my research, has not played any minutes.
In the league, yeah.
At all.
Hasn't played any minutes.
Uribar, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to figure out the pronunciation. I'm trying to say that. I think it's Uribar. But he has not played any league minutes so far this year. So
yeah, well, and with that being said, we have beat them already.
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat us once. We beat them once. Both games 1-0. But we have taken points off of them. And because we have taken points off of them, we have to keep that in our locker, especially after a game like this where we just completely ran over Tormenta FC, who at one point was favorite to end in second place by a long shot. Yeah, they went through a bad drought, but the way in which the kickers dominated this game, if we can keep that momentum up, I think we can take on Greenville and beat them again. Mm-hmm. So,
I will say this. It's going to be a short week. So, in between the next... So, let me backtrack a little bit. There's 7 games left in the season.
Yeah.
We do have a short week where we have, 3 games in 7 days?
Yeah.
We have Greenville at home. North Texas is Wednesday at 4. And then Ford the 14th. At home. By the way, the game of the 14th, I have some special news for that.
Yeah.
that was nice at the end of the podcast. So you're looking at 3 tough games, and then you play 5 teams that are arguably in playoff contention between Greenville, North Texas, Ford, Tucson, and Chattanooga. Arguably by that time, Toronto might be out of playoff contention. And Orlando's already been eliminated. Yeah. So we got 5 games, which if, let's just say, by the grace of God, we win all 5, the kickers are in playoff position. If not, the kickers can take points and really control the playoff layout of the rest of the teams in USL League 1.
Look, we're only 7 points off of a playoff spot.
Yeah, which is weird. You know, which is really weird.
Because literally a couple weeks ago, we were saying... There's no way kickers are even hitting a playoff spot. Now we're just 7 points off of a playoff spot. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a very big deal.
Look, the one thing in sports is that you want to be able to control your own destiny. You know? And Richmond kind of controls it. Yeah. If you come out here the next 5, you win, you get your last 2 games at home. And if there's a chop for a playoffs... Man, who knows? Who knows? Like,
we're 3 wins away from hitting a playoff spot at this point now. If we can get 3 wins, 3 or 4 wins, I'd say probably 4, because those top 4 are going to drop. They may drop points, but not all of them.
Yeah.
You know? And that being said, I mean, I don't know. It's just it's one of those situations that it could.
Anything can happen. Like,
this league is
playing with house money.
Yeah, 9th through 1st place has a chance of being in or not being in.
So let me ask you this: I won't ask you for a score prediction because, you know, we banned those on the show.
No, no score predictions. No score predictions.
But how do you see Beulah approaching his game against Greenville?
I mean, with Greenville, I really don't know how Beulah is going to approach it. But what I would probably do is go back to our back three formation. Get our back three back in. Have our wing backs, you know, our three in the middle, and basically play like a 3-5-2.
Yeah.
A 3-5-2 with Lockerbie on one side and maybe Thompson on the other, or Ivan. No, Ivan would be one of the center backs. I think this is one of those games where it would probably be a good idea to play Troyer and Maxey.
To control the midfield.
To control the midfield. One player to control it defensively, the other to control it offensively.
Who out of our midfield do you pull out? Do you take Greg out? Do you take Bulldog?
I believe you would take Greg out. You would have basically back three, our usual back three of Akwe, Shinovsky, and Ivan. We have our fullbacks in the midfield. I would say have Maxey and Troyer, and maybe put Bolduc as more of an attacking midfielder. And then you get your Chin and Gallardo up top.
I can see that. I think the main thing for this game, I think one, we got to keep an eye on Tyler Pollock.
Exactly.
He's like their. Even though he plays like left back, he is still one of their best players.
Yeah.
And then Jake Keegan, who has 9 goals already. I think the thing that we're going to have to do is really, one, control the midfield, but then also control the overlapping runs that Greenville does with Pollock. And looking for those crosses and those crosses into Keegan. I think if we could keep an eye on that, I think we'll do well. I think it will be a chippy game.
It will be a chippy game.
Because, I mean, Greenville's in third now.
Yeah.
Greenville lose this game, and I think if other results
they're at risk of dropping out of the playoff spots. Yeah.
Like, this is the thing about the playoffs. Like, literally, you have, what, Greenville on 34, Ford on 32, South Georgia on 32, Chattanooga on 32, and Tucson on 31.
Yeah. No, basically, we're looking at a situation where it's literally, wow, there are three teams that the gap between 7th place and 3rd place, 3 points. So that's 2 playoff spots that are absolutely a toss-up.
Yeah.
Absolutely a toss-up. I wouldn't even say Lansing is safe. Maybe you can say North Texas is safe.
Well, I think, how many games Lansing got left? I think Lansing has 4 or 3 games left.
They have 4 games left.
How many of those are at home?
4 games left with 3 of them at home.
And who they play?
Tucson, Chattanooga. Tucson away, Chattanooga at home, South Georgia at home, and Madison at home.
I will say this about Lansing. I think if Lansing can get the next two against on the road against Tucson and then at home against Chattanooga,
they're safe.
I think they're fine. Because I think that South Georgia game, you can come out with a draw. You might drop 2nd to 3rd, depending on how the rest of the table looks at that moment.
Yeah.
But that forward game, I think Lansing wants to avoid a situation where playoffs is on the line and 4 or 5 spot is between Ford and Lansing. The league wants it. Lansing doesn't.
Yeah, Lansing doesn't want that problem. No. I do think, like you said, if they win their next 2 games, they're kind of safe. Mathematically, no. Yeah. No one's safe mathematically.
I think the only team that's safe is maybe North Texas.
I think we can talk about being mathematically safe on September 14th.
Yeah.
That's when we can talk about somebody being mathematically
safe. Right now, the only team that's eliminated is Orlando. Orlando can't make it.
Orlando have packed it up for the season.
the last little bit of news, we got a secure TV deal.
Yeah.
So we got a secure TV deal. For those who don't know, another, again, link in the description down below. USL, the Championship League One, has pretty much signed, I believe, a 3-year deal for 2022 mm-hmm. with ESPN and ESPN Plus. So now we know where to watch USL.
Yeah, any USL game, you can catch it on ESPN. Yeah,
we know where to watch it at, man. So now we don't have to, like, jimmy rig a cable or, like, steal someone's account to watch USL League One game.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to hear, man. It's good to see that the league is growing in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's catching a lot of headlines. You know, I think Phoenix has won, up in the championship, has won, what, 18 games in a row or 17 games in a row?
Phoenix is on fire.
Yeah. By the way, if you have not watched Phoenix, you gotta watch them
play. Yeah. They play some, some of the coaches I used to coach alongside, they play some pretty soccer.
Yeah, they play
some pretty soccer.
They do.
I can see that. I don't think USL is going to keep them for long. They may end up in the MLS.
I don't know, man. Range. The way you was talking last week, all spicy, you were saying that USL is going to take over MLS.
I mean, that's a long way away, but you got to look at MLS right now is the big name in U.S. soccer. And Phoenix Rising got a big name, I mean, in their ownership with DJ
Drogba.
That's
a different discussion we're going to have for a different day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with DJ Drogba involved in Phoenix Rising, it's only makes sense that they're going to end up in MLS. That's too big of a profile with regards to your club not to end up in MLS.
So, real quick, I mentioned it earlier. I wanted to save it for the end of the show. Please, if you're still listening, please still listen. September 14th, Ford Madison is coming to town, but the night of the game is going to be called Heritage Night.
Yes.
So me and Shaneer, we're selling tickets for that night. Pretty much, we're raising money for the Black History Museum, Beta Gamma Lambda Education Foundation that goes support kids in inner cities, helping them get to college and things like that. And El Campo, who early in the year we did an interview with their owner, talking about them. So we're just asking people, even if you cannot make it to the game, please, 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 just donate $12 to support this cause. It's going to a good thing. I promise you it is. This is This is the first time that Richmond has done a Heritage Night. I believe U.S. Soccer has partnered with a Greek letter organization. For those who don't know what a Greek letter organization is, those are like Alpha Phi, Alpha Kappa, Alpha Psi, Omega Psi Phi, those fraternities and sororities. And it's going to a good cause. That's it. So anyone that is interested, you can hit us up on the socials at RiverCity93. My personal Twitter and Instagram, Shanir's personal Twitter. You don't have Instagram, do you?
No Instagram here yet.
Yeah, you're an old man. You can hit us on there.
I don't take enough pictures.
We'll leave a link in the description down below so you can donate down there. But with that being said, you got anything else, my man?
No.
So
happy days.
Happy days. 4 scores and 7 games to go. So with that being said, guys, you can hit us up at RiverCity93. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Shout out to our new sponsor, For the Culture United. You can follow them on Instagram, Twitter. They also have a Facebook group. We'll leave that down in the description down below. Shout out to Roughneck Scarves, the Beautiful Game Network, who's been a great sponsor for this podcast. And with that being said, guys, catch us on the flip side. You know, man.